Hi everyone, this is Tara Faulkner. I'm speaking again today with Janet Morrow, and we happen to be talking on the 4th of July, which here in the United States is the day we celebrate freedom. And so it seems like a very appropriate day for us to be having this conversation. And I just wonder, what's the latest with you, Janet? How are you doing?
Not well. I have taken a turn for the worse the last 10 days, and the pain is increasing. The options don't seem to be widening, and I am in the process of deciding just how much longer to keep pushing on a front that I think may not, the deck is stacked against me. I mean, melanoma is very metastasis prone, and I'm realizing how completely compromised so many functions of my body are, although I am functioning, barely. But, this concept of freedom, and I'm so glad you used the word freedom and not independence for today, because freedom is from fear. I mean, the primary freedom, I think, is the freedom that we feel within ourselves to become who we are. And there are so many things that mitigate against that. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic. So many ways that we've developed fear of stepping into our true selves, and that whole question of true selves. I mean, I'm tickled about several things that in the celebration of this day, I was listening to Bill Moyer's interview of Khalil Gibran Muhammad, who a black man who heads the Schomburg study for black history. And then you got on, and I heard this a little bit, and I think it's a kick. Holy mackerel, they finally discovered the God particle? Tell us about that.
Before I do, I just want to say, as your friend and someone who loves you, it makes me really sad to hear how things are going. And as I said to you before, I don't have any platitudes to offer. I don't have, I just have all I can really offer is just love. And maybe that's part of the conversation today. Why it's not so frightening for you, as you said to me before we got on the call, that as you're facing the possibility of this, I was talking to your kids about putting your affairs in order and saying that, you're really not afraid of death. And, I think for most people that's the ultimate fear. And I definitely want to get into this conversation with you about why you don't fear that. And I think the discovery or the proof, the scientific proof today of the God particle is all part of that story. So let me try to tell that. I'm not a scientist. I just want to make a disclaimer. and so all I can do is describe the best of what I understand from what I just read. An internet article, but I guess a while back, scientists discovered something called the Higgs field, which another way of talking about it is the God field, although scientists don't like using that word, but I think the rest of us would, which basically is the field that allows things to come into existence. It allows for the existence of the material world. It facilitates the existence of matter coming into existence, of mass accruing. Without it, according to the article, we would just be particles of light, or we would be zooming around at the speed of light, is what it said, unable to ground ourselves in any sort of material reality. But with the existence of the God field or the Higgs field, we were able to. And what they discovered, what they announced today from Switzerland, where they have this gigantic particle accelerator, it's the biggest and most powerful machine in the world, and it hurdles particles at each other at really high rates. And when they impact each other, they're able to then see all these bizarre particles that are created. And one of them they hypothesized is called the Higgs boson. It's the God particle. That's the term that is being used in the popular media and other source, you know, other sources. But the reason it's called that is when the God field gets excited, when it moves, it generates God particles. And those particles bind with other, particles. Well, that gives other things the possibility of becoming particles, so that we in our physical bodies can exist in this third dimensional world. So without that particle and without that field, we wouldn't be here.
And it goes right back to where I started. My blogs several years ago was, no, you're not in the sky, you're in me.
Isn't that great news?
Well, it's nice to have it proven, although I think so many people have tried to promote this and have been saying this for thousands of years. But it has not been acceptable to those who would like to have power over us. And,
exactly.
And heaven forbid that we should be either responsible or dependent upon to live our lives in any kind of appropriate or desired way. So then we've got the devil that we can all, you know, fight with, and then... But it's always the devil's fault, not me. The devil made me do it. And this whole thing has just really led me to a totally different story about who I am and why I'm here. And it's the only story that works for me now. Because... this idea that this dimension and this planet is the be-all and end-all never has felt right for me. Mm. It's there. The books of Michael Newton, The Destiny of Souls, and other people who cultures and areas of the continent. Have talked about is sort of like, you know, having had myself past life experiences, and then Michael Newton's work talks about the soul or spirit life between life. It is very clear that that this is simply an opportunity for my spirit to experience things that this dimension and this planet is unique in offering. So what I'm working and learning and becoming and doing in this life, it is just one of hundreds or thousands of lives I've had that have built up an experiences that are helping me and my ultimate the soul in each incarnation and my spirit life to become what. Now, what that plan is, I don't know, but to become something I would not otherwise be able to become.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes so much more sense.
It does, doesn't it?
And it says, no, I'm not going, I'm not dying going someplace awful. Death is going home. And there have been so many that have spoken about that, and so many that have come back and told those stories. And that we keep becoming reincarnated with members of past lives so that we learn again or correct from what we learned in those things so that our souls can evolve. And that just feels so much more comfortable for me.
And what is your sense, what is your knowing about the experience of death and the immediate experience of it as you're, have you read like Raymond Moody's book on life, I can't remember the name of it, but it's where he interviews a lot of people who've had the near-death experiences and they describe going into a tunnel of light and sometimes encountering a figure like Jesus or the Christ or just their ancestors, their loved ones, or, you know, do you feel like that's part of what you can expect? You know, what do you think about that?
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that will be, I will be welcomed back, and I think I will be happy to be there.
Will it be like a dissolving into the light of love feeling, or the warmth of love?
That's a nice explanation of it, because to me it is, I came from love, I return to love, and what I'm learning here is, and that has been a topic for me, what I'm learning here is about love, which is not, has been a challenge for me. And yes, love is what we're here for, and love is what we all want, and why I have not been able to not only live it but embody it has been what I've been striving for and getting closer to, and it just feels really good because at this point I just can feel love around me.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just it's what matters. It's what matters.
It's what matters, and I love the fact that you just used the word matter.
yes.
because, you know, matter is what the God particle makes possible.
Right.
And matter comes from the root word mater, something for mother. So it's, you know, and another way of talking about going back to the womb or the great mother field or the God field, which is the great womb, really.
Yes, and the world I've lived in and watched historically through a variety of authors and wise people has just shown how humankind has missed the analysis in a way that could really make the possibility of balance between the masculine and feminine real. And where we could learn love one another and help each individual fulfill what they came in with, because we all have our design, and we are all here for a purpose. And helping one another find that and become what we can become seems to me what an educational system should be about, rather than simply preparing you for the workforce so you can be someone else's slave.
Exactly. The ultimate educational experience. like this whole story, and I believe this is true as well, that you do get to do a review of your life and as you're going through the dying process and seeing everything that has occurred, like it flashing before your eyes, you know, the way they talk about that, and you're reviewing all of it and understanding all of it and seeing how it all makes sense in the grand scheme of things and understanding how you've impacted other people in ways that you had no idea you did for the good, you know.
I hope it would be mostly for the good. Lord knows I've tried. I don't know where that little sentence came, but said, no, I am not a bad person.
Oh, that's something from your childhood? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, it's we have come in to the parents we've come into by design. And this is what I think I've picked up from a number of sources, most particularly Pathwork, which was so wonderful, was the that there are no accidents. Intricacy goes into the plan of each of our arrivals in this dimension.
Right.
And so I have learned. I've gone back in this reflection of 80 years, saying the purpose of my having had the parents I had, and that's why knowing your parents is so important. And I think that's also why knowing your inheritance or your DNA, what you're talking about, because it's about the time we start to draw parameters around any of it, we limit the potential.
Right.
And we allow ourselves to succumb to potential judgment about others and discrimination and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I've been Chinese, I've been black, I've been African, I've been white, I've been them all.
Right. I had an experience of this yesterday. I was talking to a good friend of mine whose father abandoned his family when he was 6 years old and was a serious alcoholic and was, domestic violence. We did a lot of domestic violence in the home, and my friend was, thoroughly traumatized by him. And as we were looking at his ancestry and his astrocartography, because he has a lot of, his father was of Irish descent, his grandfather had been born in Dublin. And I was able to share my understanding of the legacy of that type of ancestry because I've done so much work on that part of my own ancestry and the legacy of that being the alcoholism and the abuse that comes from that kind of trauma being passed down of the Great Famine in Ireland. And I think that it really helped him. He hadn't done any of that sort of work. And I think it really, really helped him understand and have some compassion for his father. You know, not to excuse the behavior, but to understand it is really an important part.
Yep. Very. Yeah. So liberating. It's freedom.
Right. So knowledge is more than power. Knowledge is forgiveness.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the next step will be to say what was it? Why was his soul delivered to that kind of a father?
Exactly. He has Chiron running right through Ireland, which is the wounded healer. I think that's a big clue that it's part of the wound for him to heal in order to be able to help heal others. I love doing this kind of work. I just feel like, and I'm so grateful to you for encouraging me in this direction. It really does feel like it's my... it's my peace. It's what I have to offer.
And, well, it's a skill star having, we've been very, very close now since, 2007 or 8?
2006 is when we first started working together.
Was it really that long ago? Wow.
Yeah, 6 years this summer. In fact, it was right around this time of the year when we started working together 6 years ago. Yeah.
Well, and to have been a part of your life and watch you blossom. And it's just so exciting to watch this. And, of course, you have been so helpful to me. And this co-creation that we have done with this inner side is really very, very soul gratifying. I mean, I kept thinking, why have I've just ever all my life felt this inner journey that the inner sight is about, know thyself, really is what it needs to be about. And it had been taught by the Essene community and before that. And that the way to be part of the world and the universe is to know thyself. And now with this discovery of the God particle, how can you ever say anything but that? I mean,
right. And apparently, according to this friend I was telling you about who is a doctor, he happened to be at the Oracle of Delphi last year and he saw that insignia that says know thyself, and he said, you know what they don't tell you is there's another sign that goes with it. There's something else that's engraved there, and it's to know thyself is to heal thyself.
Oh, hoo, hoo.
It's a piece that you don't usually hear.
No.
That's why knowledge is so powerful.
Why self-knowledge is so...
Self-knowledge, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's goosebumpy.
It is. I need to Google that and get more information about it and share that with people. But, there's some other question I had about... When you were describing reincarnation So obviously you do embrace the knowing of that your consciousness will continue after as you go through the dying process and then on the other side of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know what it was I wanted to tell you. This is another grandmother story. You know how I have a lot of grandmother stories.
Uh-huh.
Both of my grandmothers lived to be pretty old. One was 96 and the other was 108.
Whoa.
When they died, you know, and I've told that story about my one grandmother not remembering who I was, but remembering that she loved me and what an incredible gift that was.
Mm-hmm.
My other grandmother was 96 when she died, and it's kind of a funny story in a way. It's kind of dark humor, but as much as she was ready to go and wanted to go, she was really had lost so much weight and was really, you know, suffering. She was having a hard time letting go. And she gathered all of us around her bed, like her whole family, and we're all holding hands. And she asked us to say the Lord's Prayer. Have I ever told you that story?
No, go on.
And so she's like, so we're saying the Lord's Prayer with her. And then is when we finished saying the Lord's Prayer, she took a big breath, a big deep breath of air, and held her breath as long as she could, like she was trying to will herself to die. And then at some point, she just couldn't hold her breath anymore, and she breathed. And then she opened her eyes and looked at us. She was, like, really pissed off, and she goes, damn it.
We always want to be in control, don't we?
Okay, I'm really ready, and I really want to do it right now. I'm going to will myself to do it. Oh, and darn it, it's not working the way I expected. And I think it was about another day after that.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, I'm just so – the other thing is just that is so much of human nature. And I look at the world we're living in now and the things mm-hmm. that are going on, and I'm thinking, oh, good grief. We've created this, mm-hmm. and the only way it's going to change is if we change ourselves. I back in the 70s70s and 80s became so aware that all the social activism or what I was working to accomplish and was helping people be involved in creating a better life and future for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, you can't legislate morality. You can't command behavior. You cannot make people be anything other than they are. And people have not been allowed to see and understand what they really are and can become.
Right.
It is just so sad because we get caught in human nature binds, like the need to control. The whole need to feel good about ourselves, you know, this question of when you know that there's this need, everybody needs to feel better than somebody, and so much of this pride is the motive, and feeling better is the motivation for competition and for belittling and judging of others. I mean,
right?
You know, it's
right, but what if? What if this knowing that you are God, that God, the God particles exist in you, and you exist in the field of God, is the antidote to that type of need on the part of the ego to feel better than others? Because if you know that you're made of God stuff, you don't really need to feel. It really takes away that insecurity or sense of inadequacy.
Yeah.
You know, it heals that on such a profound level. I guess that goes back to the saying, it's the Oracle of Delphi, that to know thyself is to heal thyself, right? Because if you really deeply know yourself, to know that you're part of God and made in the image of God, which is not Yahweh, by the way, but, you know, the real God, love, then you're healed.
Yeah, and... where I completely buy into that, and yet that's mm-hmm. sort of my story about what I want to believe and what I think should be the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think where I've had to do is let go of that image or that story to say that every soul has its own reason for being here. Right. And to experience the all means to experience the bad as well as the good, because you know the reality of this planet and dimension is you've got to have light to have dark. You know, the opposites need each other. There is no such thing as good if there isn't bad. There is no such thing as up if there isn't down. And so that the for a soul to have had all these experiences and to live in this dimension where it is cause and effect, and to see that everything has its ramifications, behavior, and start to take ownership of that, because that's what I loved about the Pathwork lecture that talks about personal responsibility is the ultimate spiritual law.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, at the point that I assume responsibility for what has gone on and in my life and the choices I've made and the ramifications of those choices is at the point where my spirit becomes wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's just my story, but it's working for me.
Right, and that's the important thing about story is that it actually works for you. And I think that's how we can evaluate the quality of the story is how does it work for you? How does it function in your life?
Yeah.
You know, I remember hearing a really cool description once of what sin is or evil or any of those things by a sort of a mystical theologian. I can't remember who, but he said, maybe it was like Meister Eckhart. He said, evil is the place within God where God pretends not to be God.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah, interesting.
It's that even when you talk about the interplay of light and dark, that it's important to remember that interplay, that polarity, is always occurring within the field of God.
Right.
It's never outside of that. There's no possibility for it to ever be outside of that.
Right. And that reminds me of Greg Braden's story about who is the descended God, the spirit that the bad spirit. Lucifer. In other words, there had to be a Lucifer who saw him as someone who volunteered to be the bad one, so that there could be that kind of a dynamic that you just described.
Right, exactly. That's part of that story.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, it really helped me to settle into the experience of being here on Earth with all of the pain and suffering that, you know, we witness and experience and hear about on the nightly news and all that, you know.
Yeah.
That it is all on a relative level, it is really all occurring, and it is very painful. And yet there's a bigger perspective, there's a bigger container for all of it, like an ultimate perspective, and from that perspective, it's all occurring within the field of God, and there's no real possibility to ever be truly separate from that. We can pretend to be, and we can convince ourselves in a pretty compelling way that we're not part of God, but it really is ultimately all pretense.
Yeah.
And it's so important to remember that. Well, I was going to say, I think for myself, you know, I once asked my grandma if she was afraid of death, and she said no. She said, just like you, well, she said, you know, birth was challenging, but what came out after it was pretty great in a lot of ways. And she said, I expect death will be a challenging process, but whatever's on the other side of it will be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I think that knowing that no matter what occurs, even though if it appears to be something separate from God, it is always ultimately occurring within God, within us. You know, that's the comfort. And it's not some sort of, oh, spiritual platitude. It's I mean, science just proved it today, right?
Right.
And something we were laughing about this earlier, that it took science, you know, all these thousands of years and billions of dollars to prove something that mystics have known all along. And those of us with common sense have known all along. Not to disparage science, because I think it's important that they did do that and that they did prove it scientifically.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But it just shows that the left brain is much slower than the right brain.
Well, I think it is just really sort of indicative of this actually wonderful, though chaotic, time we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
That we are, and it's always, everything seems to be contradiction. And the one time we're making all these wonderful breakthroughs in the scientific field, and yet we're doing all of these dismal disasters and self-destructive behavior in the personal world, and that we have not honored our Mother Earth, and that we have not been responsible citizens of the planet that we're on, and that we have not really honored our life support system, because we think that we're above it all. So that separation, disassociation is just a fascinating thing to be observing now.
And we're seeing so much evidence of the contrary of that too, with us, with so many people waking up to the reality that we are part of this web of interrelatedness, and that we must, you know, for our own sake as well as for the sake of all the other beings on, and, you know, the planet itself, understand that what happens to the planet happens to us, you know, and that we're part of the ecosystem of it. And so many people are now becoming champions for the Earth, you know, taking on their own hero's journey for the sake of the planet. And that's a beautiful thing to see, that movement happening at the same time with all the worst of it.
Yeah, what you become very aware of is that there's simultaneous contradictions happening, but all of them are true.
Right, exactly. It's not an either or situation. It's a both and.
Yes, yeah, and that there are multiple truths, and that to fight over who's right and is it's simply a waste of time, energy, and effort.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think this has been a really wonderful conversation, and I'm really looking forward to sharing it with everyone.
You know? Well, I hope others get some benefit out of it. That's the reason we're doing it, right?
Right, and also for my own sake, I really enjoy having these conversations with you on a purely selfish level. I enjoy it, and I hope we can have a lot more.
I do too, Sarah. I love you dearly. And I've thoroughly enjoyed our growing together and creating together and discovering together. And I'm so excited about what you're doing. And I think it's so promising, because I think it is the future of other people getting to know themselves so they can heal themselves.
Well, we've created a beautiful garden together, and the flowers are really starting to grow and blossom. And I feel so good about what we've created with Isha as well.
Oh yeah,
it's beautiful, and it's going to continue to flower. And just know that that's your legacy.
Well, that's what matters.
A great place to wrap it up, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
All right, sweet one.
Love you a lot.
Love you, Ben.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.